The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
How are you, Rolien, this afternoon?
Well, I have a question. Do you have to send somebody to gain a different perspective, or can you send yourself on this vessel out of space because you've just had enough of the nonsense on planet Earth?
That wasn't the question, but for you, we'll allow it. I could imagine you're
for
really...
For you, you'll make an exception.
Exactly, exactly. And you can take those high heels with, I'm sure.
Well, that's the nice thing about having no sense of gravity, is you don't have to worry about your shoes hurting you from standing too long. Win-win situation.
Absolutely. Rolien, what's happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, let's talk COVID, as we do every day round about this time. And despite the finance minister and the health minister being at a bit of loggerheads yesterday about whether or not to open cultural venues and the trade services, they will be opening next week. I don't know if Prime Minister Netanyahu's conversation yesterday with many of the artists and actors and singers, performers, etc., may be impacted on this decision, but we have it on good authority that we will be opening on a Sunday, of course, with very, very strict criteria. Very limited amount of people who can go into the trains. You will have to buy your tickets in advance. All these kind of issues, especially today as infections have gone past the 4,000 people mark. And the government have announced that there will be no more lifting of restrictions until these numbers come down. And, of course, there are debates whether or not we are in the second wave. Some officials within the health ministry saying that perhaps we are already in the second wave. But along with that, we have three of Israel's top generals who are currently quarantined, having come into contact with the people who may have contracted the virus, and a Knesset worker who has now been sent into bidud or quarantine for having contracted corona. But also very interesting headline earlier today is that our new immigration minister, Panina Tamanoshata, she has said that we can expect a massive wave of post-coronavirus immigration when we reopen our borders. She says that it's not just going to be thousands of French or from other countries, but it's expected that we could see maybe about 90,000. I'm not exaggerating. That's how many new immigrants we could be facing, but in the spotlight is the French Jewish community saying that France's mismanagement of COVID-19 has played a role, and many are speculating with a lot of what's happening in the United States, there could be a massive aliyah from the States as well. Very, very interesting to see what's going to happen.
It is interesting, and I saw that last week you actually had 37 immigrants arrive from Peru of all places. So yeah, unexpected places providing aliyah numbers as well.
Absolutely, but you know, we also have to caution all them and say you have to be extremely, extremely aware and cognizant that, you know, you're not swapping, you're not leaving just because of COVID-19. You have to take into consideration you are still moving to another country and all those challenges that is going to bring with it.
Interesting story you want to address as well today. EU apparently pulling funding for an NGO refusing to denounce terror. Are they finally at long last, providing terms and conditions with their disbursements?
Well, this seems to be the case. And the European Union has cancelled for the first time a grant to an NGO. The NGO's name is Badil. It's a Palestinian nonprofit, because they refused to sign a clause that would ensure that no terrorist organizations benefit from the funded programs. And I think we have to thank for that is the Ministry of Strategic Affairs. They published, and organizations like NGO Monitor, they published a report last year called Terrorists in Suits, which linked several BDS organizations to groups like Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and others which are on the EU terror blacklist. So it's very interesting to see that Badil who had managed to secure 1.7 million euros, which is about 6.5 million shekels of funding, they are going to lose that funding because they refuse to sign the clause where any money that they receive will not go to terror organizations.
And what was the excuse given, Rolene? On what basis are they saying they won't sign this?
Well, they didn't give any reason. They just didn't sign it. And, you know, one of
So they're not even playing the political game. They're just out there saying this is...
Well, one of the issues that they possibly could have used, although it hasn't been made public, is that they say that it criminalizes or it could criminalize the Palestinian struggle against oppression. But, you know, we have to take a good look at what is an organization that has human rights at its center of its core values, and these organizations that are terror organizations, and it has been exposed time and time again, as well as the use or involving known terrorists to fundraise. One example was Leila Khalid, who is responsible for hijacking an airplane coming to South Africa, of all places, several years ago, to be a keynote speaker and raise funds for BDS South Africa, or whatever they were called at the time, and she has been linked to terrorist organizations. So, you know, it's incidents like this, it's organizations like this that are linked to these terror organizations that the EU finally is sitting up and saying, you know what, we're not going to fund you if you are going to just perpetuate terror.
Really interesting that you've raised that issue, because just a short while ago I was talking about the fact that the Americans are putting a lot of pressure on King Hussein to send Tamimi to extradite her back to the States. And he's facing a lot of pressure to do so. You know, you can't harbor terrorists who kill people and whose only regret is that they didn't kill more and expect to get away with it.
Exactly. And Tamimi's from the Tamimi clan. We've had Jana Tamimi in South Africa and a few others. And the clan is known, this particular family, to terror organizations and or committing acts of terror that have cost people their lives.
Let's move on to your final story today. You say there's been another blow against the BDS movement.
Yes, there has been, and this time from Ireland, so I will do my best Irish accent. Ah, jeepers, I'm pretty Irish for you. Pour the Guinness. But yeah, pour the Guinness indeed. The very, very famous potential Irish bill that would have criminalized doing business with Israeli settlements was shelved this week. It was not included in the incoming government's 5-year foreign policy plan. And it's interesting to note that any Irish citizens that would have been involved in goods or services produced in the West Bank or East Jerusalem, they could have been fined about 250,000 euros and sentenced to about 5 years in prison if they were caught partaking or doing business, etc., etc. But the Israel-Ireland Alliance, called the ILA, they called the bill shameful and illegal. And they also, again, exposed that the organizations like BDS and their subsidiaries like Al-Haq, which is one of the groups that sponsored or pushed for this to be legislated, has been linked to the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, also recognized as a terror group. So there we have it. All these links, perhaps they might be the eventual undoing of BDS, but also along with that, Visa, MasterCard, American Express have all shut down their operations that have enabled online donations to Al-Haq. So it looks like the Irish, who are certainly have not been a great friend of Israel, are saying, well, you know, we're not going to jeopardize bilateral relations with Israel. We're not going to support terror organizations, and we're not going to put this bill as part of our foreign policy. And also it must be noted that these companies that operate in the West Bank and East Jerusalem provide jobs for Palestinians. And at this juncture, as the economy, the global economy, is stressed because of coronavirus, these jobs are very, very needed.
And just final point, because we are late, is that I believe Ireland has just won itself a seat on the Security Council, so it makes it all the more relevant. Rolene Marks, as always, thank you so much for your input. Shabbat shalom, and we'll be back with you on Monday.
Shabbat shalom. I'll catch you Monday.